We get it underway by welcoming back to the program a great friend of the show. He is a talented comedian and Emmy Award-winning writer. He's in the midst of his summer pickets and performance tour doing comedy and participating in the Writers Guild of America strike. Josh Gondelman joins us. Hi there, Josh.
Hi, Rich. Thanks for having me back. I would just like to add I'm also on strike as a member of SAG-AFTRA.
Well, so you're doing double duty. Does that mean two signs?
Extremely on strike. I have not been double fisting picket signs, but I do feel if I wanted to, that would be my prerogative.
Well, let's talk about the issues because I'm not sure the average person understands completely what's going on. What were the issues that originally drove the Writers Guild to go on strike?
So when so much of TV and film made the switch from linear broadcasting or regular TV networks and theatrical film releases to streaming, the distribution of so much of TV and film changed, and the compensation just didn't come with it. So the compensation is lagging behind. Writer wages are going down. We're really getting kind of squeezed. And then, of course, there's the issue of AI, which is something that's come up a lot more recently. And so we're really just trying to get this new contract that is fair compensation for people doing their jobs that they love to do and that keeps writing a like sustainable career so people can have families and afford to pay their rent or mortgage.
Well, and as people know about the success of streaming services, but what they don't know is whether it's writers or actors, the compensation that you get for that is but a fraction of what you would normally get. And the idea of residuals making people rich, that doesn't happen.
Yes, that's right. I think that residuals are a huge issue, right? So if you are on a TV show or write for a TV show that gets played on broadcast TV a bunch of times, then you get compensated for that reuse for the work you did, or if it spins off into new markets. But if you're on a streaming show or you write for a streaming show, you get a flat rate per year that's maybe a couple hundred bucks, and even though it could be watched infinitely in that time, you know, and Netflix and especially loves to brag about this is the most watched visual image in the history of the human race, and yet they can't pay out a fair residual.
Well, and I have so many friends who are actors, and the vast majority of actors are doing things like a regional theater and maybe do a 6-week show and then are looking for their next gig. Very few actors out there are working nonstop, and it's that time between gigs that make compensation and fair compensation important. But also this idea, as you mentioned with AI, the disturbing idea that came up recently that the producers could somehow take your image as a background player in a scene and use that in perpetuity, that's insane.
Yeah, it really seems unfair that you would do a half a day's work as a background performer and then, and as a stipulation of that, sign away your likeness forever. It really seems like an unfair stipulation that was allegedly offered in as a condition in the contract with SAG-AFTRA. And it's just really these companies, you know, what the writers and actors are asking for, the Writers Guild contract, the requests total about 2% of the operating profits of these companies, and they make so much money, tens of billions of dollars, and we're just asking for a cut that's, hey, we do this work, we deserve a share of how much money it generates.
And the idea that the producers would suggest, as they some at least have apparently done, that, hey, we just ride this out for a while, and as soon as people start losing their houses, they'll come to the table with a better attitude.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cold, right? Like, I think there were, internally, we talked about, like, obviously they're just fear-mongering, like, maybe they mean that, maybe they don't, like, who knows if that's the real strategy, but the fact that they were willing to even anonymously give that quote to Deadline, the trade magazine, just really speaks to that they want to be cruel to writers, right? They want to be seen as people who are willing to inflict cruelty on their employees, and they think that makes them look powerful and not, like, petty and pathetic, which is I think it was a miscalculation on their part. I think people really saw through how, like, vicious and gross that was to say out loud.
We're talking with Josh Gondelman here on Downtown. As you mentioned, you're a member of both unions, but how important was it from a writer's perspective to have the actors join when SAG-AFTRA voted to be part of the strike?
So, we really felt like we were going to be able to leverage our collective bargaining to get a fair contract overall. But it has been such a wonderful infusion of energy and enthusiasm and participation on the picket lines. But I will say there are so many SAG-AFTRA members who have been out on the lines in solidarity even before their strike. From day one, they were there. And I've been getting emails from my SAG-AFTRA reps and from my local chapter of the guild saying, like, here's where you can go in solidarity with the WGA. So, like, their participation has predated their actual strike vote, which is really incredible. And that kind of solidarity from SAG-AFTRA, from crew members who have respected picket lines at great personal sacrifice often, other unions, members of Starbucks Union and the Teamsters Union, have been, like, really, really heartening and inspiring. Like, that this has gone across the labor movement has really meant a lot.
Well, and it's obvious, I think, how significant this is, that it's been 60 years since both the writers and the actors were on strike at the same time.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and that got that strike really laid the groundwork for residual payments for films being rerun on TV, right? Like, it was really important then. It's really important now. And I think people are really seeing that it's not just, like, a Hollywood problem. This is kind of a wall-to-wall labor issue of giant corporations trying to squeeze as much value as they can out of their workforce and compensate as poorly as they can get away with.
And do you feel like, whether it's writers or actors, that this is important because this is a real turning point in where the industry goes moving forward?
I think so. I think it doesn't seem like the streaming toothpaste is going to go back into the tube.
Mm.
And I think that's okay, as long as the companies that are making all these profits from their streaming service, or telling shareholders they're about to start making profits from these streaming services, that compensate the people that make these as this entertainment and these products that they sell. You know, I think as long as that's fair, the distribution, it's okay however they want to do it, as long as they pay a fair cut of all this money that's coming in.
Now, I know there are some independent productions that have been given permission by SAG-AFTRA to go ahead and continue mm-hmm. production. How are you when you see those people continuing to work? Is that okay?
You know, I think if it's approved by the union, it is okay for people to be working on it, and they're not doing anything wrong. But I do think it's been a meaningful show of solidarity with the people that are not working and can't be working when a star like Viola Davis says, you know, I don't feel right even participating in this production with a waiver while there's a strike happening. So I think that is, like, a really meaningful sacrifice that some people have been in the position to make. I think there have been a couple other big name people that have done that. And it's been like, and so it's really heartening to see people do that, because I want everybody to make a living. I like really feel for the people that are out of work because the AMPTP refuses to negotiate in good faith and restart production. But I do think I think it's really powerful when people have been choosing to withhold their labor even in light of these waivers.
Well, we are firmly behind the writers and the actors, and hope you get this resolved in a way that is fair to all of you. And I'm pretty sure the producers are still going to make out okay on that. I want to talk about a couple other things. Love the new That's Marvelous that showed up in my inbox. And, good to know that all of us who were waiting for our alien overlords to take over, that our patience has been rewarded.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I'm glad I've been writing this newsletter once a week for about 9 months now, I think. And finally, some actual good news. Maybe aliens are real. And maybe they'll do a better job with everything once they take over. I feel like that is certainly a possibility.
You continue to do Wait, Don't Tell Me. And I have to tell you, and I always love them, but your most recent show shoes were fabulous.
Thank you. I really love those. I got this pair of New Balances. They were a release that was exclusive to Japan, but I found them online for less than their retail price, and I felt terrific about it. It was practically, it's one of those things where I'm practically saving money buying these sneakers.
I know a big celebration recently in the house. Busy turned 16?
Yep, that's right. Our beloved senior pug is 16, which is so old. We worked it out. It's 112 in dog years, which is older than I think most buildings. So she's really hanging in there. She's a little wobbly on her hind legs, but otherwise is really doing great for a dog that old. And we've decided we're going to be the kind of jerks that throw a birthday party for a dog, as long as we're going to have a dog that keeps kicking after 16.
Well, I think that's great. We wish Busy well, and want to mention too some upcoming dates for you. You'll be in Washington, D.C. on August 6th. You'll be in Nashville at Zany's on August 8th, Charlotte, North Carolina in the Comedy Zone on August 9th, and then close to home at Tanglewood in Lenox on August 13th.
Yeah. In Lenox, I'm doing a taping for Circle Round, which is the public radio family show, that children's show that's based on folklore from around the world. And I did a recording with them last year, and it was so much fun. I'm so excited to go back.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, Josh, it is great to talk with you. Really appreciate you making time to explain the writers and the actors' perspective on all of this. And again, we wish you luck in getting that all settled in a timely and a fair fashion. And we'll catch up with you again before too long.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure. Talk soon.
That is Josh Gondelman with us on Downtown.